and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Employers added 151,000 jobs last month. The Labor Department figures, though, do not yet include federal layoffs announced in February by the Trump administration. President Trump at the White House says he believes jobs will be added in manufacturing down the road, but uncertainty due to tariffs and a possible trade war with Canada, Mexico, and China could cause businesses to pull back. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
The president also saying in those remarks that he plans to put more tariffs on Canadian dairy and lumber. As soon as today, he said maybe Monday or Tuesday, he talked about how Canada has tariffs of 250% on those products. And he says the U.S. wants to treat their dairy and lumber at the same rates.
The president holds a crypto summit this afternoon. He's voiced support for expanding U.S. digital currency policy. A fast-moving winter blast moving across parts of the Midwest today, with Chicago expecting a few inches of snow before it moves east. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Social Security Administration and its Office of the Inspector General are joining forces to raise public awareness about Social Security imposter scams, Social Security-related scams, where fraudsters mislead victims into sharing personal information or making cash, wire transfer, or gift card payments to fix alleged Social Security number problems, are an ongoing government imposter fraud scheme. Social Security impersonation scams impact all age groups and remain one of the most common government imposter scams reported to the Federal Trade Commission. Social Security continues to make concerted efforts to address this issue through extensive outreach and investigative initiatives. You are urged to stay vigilant in protecting your personal information. Social Security will never tell you that your Social Security number is suspended, contact you to demand an immediate payment, threaten you with arrest, ask for your credit or debit card numbers over the phone, request gift cards, wire transfer, gold, cash, cryptocurrency, or promise a Social Security benefit approval or increase in exchange for information or money. Social Security employees do contact the public by telephone for business purposes. Ordinarily, the agency calls people who have recently applied for a Social Security benefit, are already receiving payments, and require an update to their record, or have requested a phone call from the agency. If there is a problem with a person's Social Security number or record, Social Security will typically mail a letter. Criminals use sophisticated tactics to trick potential victims into disclosing personal and financial information. Be skeptical and on the lookout for these red flags. Typically, they use these P's: pretend, prize, or problem, pressure, and payment. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers blank the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers shut out the Oakland A's last night 10-0 in Cactus League action. Pat Murphy asked if the crew can make the playoffs again this year.
Of course we can. We have in the past, and we can again.
College basketball, Marquette getting ready to host number 6-ranked St. John's at Fiserv Forum tomorrow. The Badgers take on Penn State at noon tomorrow at the Kohl Center. The UWM Panthers losing at home to Oakland 72-64 in the Horizon League tournament, ending their season at 21-11. And Mason Crosby retiring today as a Packer. He only played for one other team, the Giants, after leaving Green Bay.
I'm so grateful for the Packers allowing me to let me retire and be done and be a Packer forever, because that's where my heart is. And I hope everybody knows that I did play 3 games one other place, but I will be a Green Bay Packer forever.
That's former Packers kicker Mason Crosby with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Spotty rain this afternoon gives way to sun before sunset. And high temperatures still climbing rather mild to the low 40s. We warm things up even more tomorrow into the mid-40s, so it'll become breezy. And those winds shove us to the mid-50s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 34 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week, and then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the 4 main things to help us balance: how I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a Bar Band Friday night, and that means our pal Terry Barr will be by with new music and fun conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with the outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. Glad to have you along. Downtown Madison on State Street, snow has dissipated, if we could use the word. Not only that, it's pretty much stopped. A little snowy here, a little snow there, but all in all, not expecting a whole lot of accumulation across much of Wisconsin. Some places in far southern Wisconsin along the Illinois border may see an inch or so, but nothing dramatic. Temperatures warming up in some places into the 50s in Wisconsin this weekend. So spring is on its way. And don't forget, Zommers, it is daylight saving time. Ugh. Starts this weekend. Don't forget, as a spring forward, fall back. Don't forget to set your, some people still have the old clocks. You have to set it yourself. Digital clocks, not all of them, but some reset themselves. Yeah. I haven't, in my kitchen, I have a digital clock on my stove, and right above it, I have a digital clock on my microwave. And people who know me will not be surprised. One of the clocks is set for daylight saving time, and one is set for standard time. And that way I don't have to change them. And so for me, it's not, is it daylight saving?
You just like put a piece of tape over it?
No. I don't call it daylight saving time or standard time. It's just, is it oven time or microwave time?
Maybe I'll do that with my oven and microwave.
Right? Yeah. Right now we're on oven time, but we're soon to change to microwave time. I just remember, I got to look at the microwave starting on Sunday. Anyway, in all seriousness, daylight saving time starts. So, for those that have to get up in the morning, it's going to be bad because it's going to be darker. But for people who like light in the afternoon into the evening, it's going to, like, Sunday night, sunset's like pretty close to 7 o'clock at night now. So, anyway, just like the weather, can't do anything about it. So, move on forward and... It's my least favorite evening. This Saturday evening is my least favorite evening of the year.
This Monday is one of the most dangerous days of the year as far as driving.
People have heart attacks, right?
Yeah, that and have accidents. And it's like a full moon on steroids, basically.
And then I get it back in the fall. So the Sunday after we fall back is my favorite day of the year. Speaking of time, we're going to be getting into some time here in just a minute with our edition of What's Worse for today. Many thanks to Tim Corden and Brady Ewing for being on in the first hour of the show. Great guests, great people, great discussion. So glad to have them along. Later on this hour, Mr. Zommers will have another edition of Board Game of the Week, how you can spend the weekend connecting with one another over a great board game. And then our old friend Scott Klug, former Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 2nd District. We're starting a new feature on Fridays with Klug, a political orphan, as he calls himself now. Longtime moderate Republican. Those don't really exist anymore. So he finds himself a former congressman without party, basically. So he has a couple of thoughts on the upcoming election on April 1st, and Klug will be in with his political take of the week. So looking forward to that before the end of the show. And Elon Musk, this is real. Elon Musk wants to put a chip in your head.
Of course he does.
And we ain't talking Doritos. So all that and more, plus your phone calls. Always glad to have you along. It's 10 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Time once again for a Friday edition of What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across the entire Civic Media Radio Network in 11 communities. All across the state, it is the largest privately owned network in Wisconsin in terms of broadcast radio, second only to Wisconsin Public Radio Network. More stations than iHeart. How about that?
Impressive.
Largest privately owned radio network in Wisconsin, Civic Media. We're in all the major media markets. No better way to have your voice, your product, your company be heard then to advertise with us. Go to civicmedia.us, that's civicmedia.us, and find out how to advertise with us. Dave, listening to New Berlin, says, Todd, I saw the forecast for Monday. I'm going to be, quote unquote, sick that day and need to spend all day at the park. Please don't read this on the air or my, oh, geez, sorry. No, he didn't say that.
He did say everything up until, please don't read this on the air.
I think we all might have a little cough on Monday, right? Right, Dave? All right, and speaking of that, timely indeed. We were talking with Brady earlier about former Wisconsin Badger head football coach Brett Bielema. Vince Lombardi used to say, was famous for saying, if you're 15 minutes early, you're late. For a meeting, whatever you have in life, always be at least 15 minutes early. And Brady saying that with Coach Bielema, former Coach Bielema here at Wisconsin, now at Illinois, that he would tell his players, or if we're going to start at 1 o'clock, you better be here at 12:55. But by the end of Brady's time, it had gone like 20 minutes early. Our own Casper, one of our great engineers listening and watching on YouTube, says, I'm not on board with that. Just tell me what time you want me there and I'll be there. Right?
I get starting, like if you tell everyone be here 15 minutes early and then you start 5 minutes early, sure. If you tell everyone be here 15 minutes early and you start 20 minutes early, screw you.
That's a little harsh. Anyway, okay, here we go.
Maybe that is a little harsh. But.
What's worse, people who are always early or people who are always late? People who are always early or people who are always late? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Could also text us on the Civic Media app if you don't have it. Download it today. You're going to want it. I mean, you want it now. But you're really going to want it soon. I am under strict orders, and Zomers tells me this, where we're not monkeying around here. I cannot tell you the exact details of it. But I believe, allowed, the attorneys up on the 12th floor say, I can tell you there is a new text-to-win contest that has been approved, signed, sealed, and is about to be delivered. And let me tell you, the grand prize on this one, you're not going to want to sleep on it. Or maybe you will. Tune in soon for another text to win contest. But be prepared, because the only way you can enter and play is via text. So be ready. Go to your Apple or Android device. Type in Civic in the app search bar. Civic Media. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark, in Pur de Sac, Mark, people who are always early or people who are always late, what's worse?
Well, people that are always late, but I just can't help but thinking of the old Elon Musk chip in our head thing. It was actually a science fiction story by Ellie Modeste Jr. called Adiamante, and there was humanity got kind of split into three different groups. Those that had a chip, those that had a that actually kind of did a self-modified their own brain, and those who didn't want either one of them. But Elon Musk, he can try to put a chip in my head, but I will avoid that with prejudice. I mean that he can pucker up and.
All right, we get the picture, Mark. Thank you very much. Mark in the sack, salty on a Friday. 855-752-4842. We'll get to the chip story in a minute. We're doing what's worse right now. Let's go up to our old friend Cindy up there who, this is a person, Cindy, she gets around. She's involved in the community. She's had drinks with Trigby and I and Reed on our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. She was overseeing our own old friend Kristen with Adam Kinzinger, and we find her in the beautiful city of Appleton. Cindy, people who are always early or people who are always late, what's worse?
Well, first I want to respond. There was a movie about putting chips in people's head, and it did not end well.
It did not
end well. Anyway, I can't remember the name of it, but it was something conspiracy. But I actually find that most people everywhere I go are early, and they seem like they're getting earlier. I suppose it's for getting parking spaces and whatnot, but I think people who get there late are so rude, inconsiderate. It's all about me. I mean, I'm a runner, and I used to do races where this one guy would come, like, perpetually every race 15 minutes late. Oh. And he would expect them to adjust his times.
What?
And everything for him. Yes.
No, now that's like, not, you can't do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Well, that's what he would do. And some of these actually race directors would actually accommodate him. And I'm like, give me a break. So anyway, he finally stopped coming. But he was always late and he just expected people to just jump over hoops for him. So I think to me, people who are late are just disrespectful and it's all about me, 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 me. Everybody else waits for me. So.
All right. Very good, Cindy. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you tuning in as always. What's worse, people who are always early or people who are always late? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Off the text line, Len, listening on WMDX in Madison, says, people who are always late are worse. Meredith in Madison says, I'm always late except for work. So I guess the folks who are always early are the worst. All right. Dave in New Berlin, listening in, says, people who are always late are worse. Terry in beautiful Cross Plains, listening on WMDX, says, I tend to run slightly late. So I have to say that people who are early are the worst. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Brian down in beautiful Milwaukee, listening on WAUK. Brian, people who are always early or people who are always late? What's worse?
Late. We had, unfortunately, in my family, our uncle, Steve was always late for family Christmas and Easter parties or any, you know, family function. Mm-hmm. And before we knew it, the running joke in the family was he's late for everything except his funeral.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's sad because he did pass away. But,
oh, well. Was he late for his own funeral?
No, he was on time for that.
Okay. Because, see, I'm going to tell a little story myself. I'll get into it more on the other side of the break. I do tend to be late often. And so I've told people that I'm going to put my will when I die that I want the funeral director to put the funeral's going to start at 11 o'clock, but don't start it until 11:15. That way people can say Todd was late to his own funeral. Appreciate it. Come on back. More after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the center, WRCE.
Dinah, it's just a rabbit with a waistcoat and a watch.
Oh, my fearing whiskers! I'm late!
Now, this is curious. What could a rabbit possibly be late for? Please, sir!
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late.
Welcome back to the Don Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with the White Rabbit and Aaron Sommers on the board. Don Hallball here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock on the TGIF edition, Friday, March 7th. We are right in the middle of what's worse for today. What's worse, people who are always early or people who are always late? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Also text us on the Civic Media app. Dana, listening to us on WLCX, a beautiful La Crosse, says, I'm always early, and a lot of people also think I'm worse. I don't, if they're related.
Or I don't know if those are related.
I don't know if those are, got it. Cam and Appleton, now, this is just egregious picking on Todd. It says, Todd and parking meters, name a better duo. That has nothing to do with, I guess it kind of relates because I was late to plug the parking meter.
Yeah,
I don't, exactly. I don't want to go down that road again, but that was not entirely my fault. Zomers, do you want to go on the, what's worse, being people are always early or people are always late?
So I am a person who is always late. Shocker. Todd and I share this in common. One of the unfortunate things that we have in common. And I've gotten a lot better with it. What's it?
Go.
And I have to say, if you are a normal amount of time early or late, I don't care. Because I don't have a right to be upset with somebody because I'm always late. But if it's really early or really late, I'm going to say a person who's late is worse.
I'm laughing because, and here, I mean, you can't buy love like this. You can't buy support like this. My mom and my sister apparently are listening and are texting me like on me. My mom says, well, this is a text from my mother. She says, your show is to tell the truth.
Oh.
My sister says, now, dear brother, are we being honest here with three question marks? Because I assume they're watching via the stream. And I said, Zomers and I are talking over the break, and you can watch this on the stream and find out what I'm really like, which is not dramatically different than what I'm like on the air. I said, I tend to run somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes late, closer to 15. I think what my family is talking about is like, if I'm going to go to a family event, I have to drive an hour plus away. oftentimes I'll have to wrap up stuff here. And then I could be more than that. I could, an hour late, or whatever. But that's like a long, I'm talking about things like, hey, we're going to meet somebody in town for dinner. Or, keep me honest. Anybody listening on Civic, I've never been late to a show. I've never shown up late. And now there have been a couple of close calls, but I have never shown up late to a show.
There was one, but you also knew ahead of time. It wasn't like, oh, I'm not here.
I had a conflict.
Like, yeah. Exactly. And right. You were like, you began the show on the phone in the parking garage. Like,
oh, I forgot about that one.
There was the one.
I had like a doctor's appointment or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that.
There was good reason for it.
Right. Generally speaking, I don't think I'm late to like company meetings, am I?
I don't think so.
Sometimes I just forget about
that is true.
Because they change. And I'm like, well, I didn't know we're having it this week. I just don't know. But I'm not late to like, I'm talking about just like, oh, we're going to meet for dinner or whatever. I've tried to do better. Now, there's a serious part to this. And I don't want to get into it and bring people down. I'm ADHD. Our friend Kira Sabin, who we have to get back on the program, by the way.
Yes.
She's ADHD. And so people with ADHD, I mean, our minds think nothing is an emergency until it is. There's only two times that matter. Now and everything else. And if it's not now, then it doesn't matter.
And I try so hard to break free of that, but I just can't.
I try, and I think I've done a little bit better.
I've improved.
We'll see how many texts I get after I said that. But no, I tend to run late. I'm not walking away from it. I'm not denying it. And guess what? I'm not blaming it on anybody but me. I will take full responsibility for my tardiness, and I'll answer the question. People like me are worse. I'm worse.
I'm also worse.
I'm the sphincter. People who are late are worse because it can set everybody back and it throws off the schedule. So I will say I am worse there. How's that for truth, honesty, and the American way? Casper chiming back in from the engineering room on YouTube. People who are always late is much, much worse. My daughter, God love her, is always late. And I literally have to tell her at least an hour and a half earlier than what the actual time is. Now, that's what mom does. She'll say, well, I think we're going to start around 1 o'clock. And then I'll get there like 20 minutes after. Well, it doesn't actually start until 2.
See, the problem is if you do that too often, then people like us will start being like, oh, they're just telling us an hour earlier.
Right, exactly.
And then we'll actually be late.
I know. But by golly, each and every day we get this show on the road at noon, come hell or high water. and I don't think I've ever, I mean, we can ask Phil Nee, Upper Richland Center, who worked with me back in high school. There were a couple of times in high school where, because CBS News, at the time, CBS News lasted until 5 after the hour. And then there was a minute of commercial. And so you would go on the air locally at 6 past the hour. There were a couple of times when I cruised into RCO at 5:05.
I've done that.
I had 45 seconds to get back to the control room, open up the mic, and give the weather.
Yeah,
I cut it remarkably close. Well, and I wasn't late. The only time I ever did not like be on the air for a shift is when I was signing on back at RCO, back in high school or college, signing on at 5 a.m. And I went out because at the time you had to go outside. There was like a weather house that had the barometer and the thermometer outside, and you had to go outside to check the temperature. And I forgot to unlock the door to go out the back door.
Ooh.
And my keys were in the station, and it was winter. And so it was like whatever it was, like 4:45, 4:10 or 4:48, whatever. I locked myself out. I had to walk back home. And we lived, I ran part of the way. I got to our house, I think, in about 10 to 15 minutes, 10 minutes. And then I had to get my car, or I had to call my station manager, Ron Fruit, and he had to come down and open up the station. We signed on at like 10 after 5. But that was just stupidity for leaving my keys in the station. What's worse? People are always early, people who are always late. Still time to call in. Also, board game of the week straight ahead, and Scott Klug's political orphan, his take on the All Balls Show on Civic Media. Come on back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Law enforcement authorities across the state will be stepping up their impaired driving enforcement this month. Departments will deploy increased patrols to discourage residents from driving while intoxicated and are warning residents that there will be a zero-tolerance policy for impaired driving in open containers. The increased and highly visible enforcement efforts are meant to encourage residents to plan their ride ahead if they intend to consume alcohol. They're also encouraging other drivers to report any suspected impaired driving. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has enacted Class 2 restrictions for the majority of Wisconsin, including Zone 2 through Zone 5. Class 2 restrictions for far northern Wisconsin will start Monday. Seasonal posted roads restrictions will go into effect statewide Monday. County highways, town roads, city and village streets may also be posted or limited to legal load limits or less. Decisions to place or lift weight restrictions on those roads are up to local units of government. Richland County Highway Commissioner Josh Elder has announced that Richland County will be enforcing weight restrictions on all county roadways beginning Monday. Rehearsals will begin for the Muscadet Community Band this month. Rehearsals will be held Sunday, March 9th, 23rd, and 30th, and April 6th at 1 in the Riverdale High School Band Room. The concert will be held Sunday, April 13th at 1 in the Riverdale High School Gym. Mike Block, a Grammy Award-winning multi-style cello player, composer, singer, and educator, will be the featured artist at the Taliesin House Concert Sunday from 2 to 4. A reception will follow with the artist. Tickets are $95 per person and can be purchased at taliesinpreservation.org/events. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders fans who are looking for closure from the upcoming Peaky Blinders movie will not get it. Franchise creator Stephen Knight says Peaky Blinders will continue after the movie has been released, but was not specific as to whether it would be TV or film. In the upcoming movie, the Peaky Blinders gang does battle with Nazis. Netflix has not yet given a release date for the Peaky Blinders movie. Typically, when someone writes a movie, they are looking for creative and ideally financial gain. Rarely does citizenship come into play as a reward, but it did for Jesse Eisenberg, the writer of the movie A Real Pain. The Polish government granted Jesse citizenship for writing the film set in Poland, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Screenplay. Nice to have a place to weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Spotty rain this afternoon gives way to sun before sunset. And high temperatures still climbing rather mild to the low 40s. We warm things up even more tomorrow into the mid 40s, so it'll become breezy. And those winds shove us to the mid 50s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now it's 34 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes past the hour, 1 o'clock, Friday, March 7th, 2025. Ominous music. Sommers, what did you dial up there?
It's the theme from Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Very ominous indeed. We're going to get to that in a minute. Elon Musk. Every time I say anything of Joe Biden, we're not joking around. Elon Musk wants to put a chip in your head.
After yesterday's SpaceX explosion and the one before that and the one before that, no thank you.
Let's finish up what's worse, asking you the important question. What's worse, people who are always early or people who are always late? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Ollie, checking in from the beautiful North Woods of the great state of Wisconsin. Ollie, what's worse, people are always early or people are always late?
I'll make this quick, since a little long. Apparently being late is bad, and my dad told me so because I used to head off with my family to visit him in a five-hour probably or so drive, and it would take me till midnight to get there because I had to stop at all the garage sales along the way. Mm-hmm. And my husband always said I'd be late for my own funeral, so I've decided to have my coffin brought in late because he always has to be right about everything else. And I'll tell my dad, and I'll leave a little note, and no, Dad, I didn't stop for a garage sale.
That's great. That's great, Ollie. I'm right there with you. I love it. Have a great day. Have a great weekend up there in the North Woods. Enjoy it up there. Thank you so very much. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell the funeral director to wheel my coffin into the church or wherever 15 minutes past the start time.
I might do the same thing.
For those watching or listening on the network, we heard the great Pete Schwabe of Nightlight was honored to be on the program last night with the Popcorn Pick of the Week. Now, there's a great show. 6 o'clock until 8 every evening. You got Pete Schwabe. Now, here's a guy who is a writer, a director, a producer, an actor, a host.
Comedian.
He's done all entertainment. And we're so happy he's part of Civic Media's team every evening, along with great producer Conrad. So I did the Popcorn Pick of the Night. And my pick last night was the great movie from 1995 called Steal Big, Steal Little. Steal Big, Steal Little by Andy Garcia. There it is. I have the DVD. Yes, I own DVDs. I own Blu-rays. And I am not ashamed. In fact, I am proud.
Because I also have,
you know what will not
more.
Happen to Todd? I will not go to try to watch a movie and say, oh, that's not available on that streaming service anymore.
For example, Steal Big, Steal Little, the movie in question, when Todd mentioned it as his Popcorn Pick of the Week last night, I looked it up. It's not available for streaming.
Look at that. Look at that.
Todd was right about everything.
No, people who know me know that's not the case at all.
Todd was right about this.
About this. It's a great film if you can find it. On DVD, or Zombers, you said it's on VHS?
Yes, you can get the VHS actually cheaper than the DVD.
I bet you can.
The shipping's more expensive, but it works out to being about $9 for the VHS and like $25 or $30 for the DVD.
All right. It's a great little film. It's about Andy Garcia plays identical twin brothers. He obviously plays both parts. And one, after they're separated, their biological parents are captured by immigration and sent back to Mexico. And so they are kind of adopted, taken in by this American couple who ends up getting divorced when they're kids. One goes to live with his father, who is obsessed with money and business and power. And the other one goes to live with his mom, who runs an art studio. And not just a studio, but like a retreat. And it's how they kind of live their lives, and comedy ensues, and, you know, double identities, of course. I mean, you have Alan Arkin is in this movie. David Ogden Stiers from MASH is in the movie. So you ever get a chance, Steel Big Steel Little was great. Yes, I put on a tutu because David Ogden Stiers in the film, they have this retreat where they're kind of the conservative Republican-esque men have a secret retreat where they all, not all, but many dress up and drag and get drunk. Not unlike a party at Lindsey Graham's house in South Carolina.
So I've heard.
But anyway. And so I dressed up as one of the characters. I went down to Monroe last night, and my friends Kurt and Florcy let me do it in front of their fireplace.
I recommend looking up the YouTube stream of Nightlight last night and checking it out. Todd sitting there in front of a fireplace in a like softly lit room. Mm-hmm. Holding a cigar, Swisher Sweet in one hand, got a glass of alcohol, a bottle of Maker's Mark facing the camera, and he's wearing a white cowboy hat, just sitting in a tutu.
I'm committed to the bit. You understand? I'm in entertainment. I love committing to these bits. And that's the fun about Pete Schwab's show is that it's informative, but it's just a heck of a lot of fun. So tune in every night from 6 until 8 right here, Nightlight, on the Civic Media Radio Network. I wish this were fiction. It is not. Elon Musk's Neuralink company will put chips inside humans' heads. The chips will read thoughts, desires, and needs directly from our brain. It will funnel that input through Musk's artificial intelligence company named, get this, XAI. It would then use Musk's X, better known as Twitter, to obtain information or services for the chip carrier. Yes. As you'll recall, Musk has already partnered with Visa to create a payment service. The first step to make X an everything app, eventually providing any service found on the web. Do you feel Homer paraphrasing, or do you feel like paraphrasing Homer Simpson and saying, I, for one, welcome Elon Musk as my new digital overlord?
I do not, no.
Or do you feel like you need Elon's chip like another hole in the head? Musk, however, expects that fear of losing out in an age where information equals power will overcome any resistance you or I may have to being chipped.
No. That's it. Just no.
There it is. I mean, you knew this was coming at some point.
I knew it was coming. Yeah. And I knew it was going to be coming from Elon, too. Right. And even if it wasn't him, I don't want any chips in my head.
No. Could not. I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole or any length pole. I mean, I suppose some people would do this, but putting a chip in your head so that the X and what if it gets hacked? Now your brain's been hacked.
You mean what happens when it gets hacked?
Right.
Because that'll be so valuable. People will hack it.
Right. If you can't hack it, 855, what do you think? Would you take a chip from Elon Musk in the head? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Ollie's calling back in the North Woods. Ollie, what do you think of this chip deal with Musk?
Well, personally, I think he can save his chip because there are millions of people ready and willing right now to tell him what they think of him.
Right? He don't need a chip. We'll just tell him for free.
No. Definitely not.
Love it, Ollie. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's a little scary. But here's the problem. We're going to cross-pollinate. Mark my words. We're going to cross-pollinate with the Musk chip in a human's head with the robot dog.
This is going to be...
And then we're going to...
the Terminator.
Yeah. We're going to have all kinds of problems. As Letterman likes to say, I wouldn't give those kind of problems to a monkey on a rock. All right, 43 minutes past the hour, 1 o'clock, time once again for another Zomer's rendition of Board Game of the Week. Here we go.
Welcome back for another Board Game of the Week, a segment we haven't done since January.
It's been a busy month, you understand?
Yes, there's been a lot going on.
The occasional segment, whenever we need it.
But you know, we've got it today. Today's board game has a little bit of backstory to it that you'll need. It's called Katmai, the Bears of Brooks River. And
all right.
And so
say this again.
Katmai, K-A-T-M-A-I, the Bears of Brooks River. So
do we need an interpreter for this game?
We do not.
All right, go ahead.
It is in English.
Right. Okay.
The name is just not because it's named after Katmai National Park in Alaska.
Oh, all right.
Where every summer bears flock there like crazy and sit along the river and eat salmon. And they get so fat and lazy and they just sit there and let the salmon jump into their mouths. And it's live streamed. So you can watch it.
Wow.
And it is so fun to watch and just sit there and be like, they're just looking down in the stream. And one, a salmon will flop up and it'll be about an inch from their mouth, but they just won't move. And they'll be like, oh, the next one will go in. And then it does. And
they just sit there and get fed by nature.
Yeah. They just sit there and eat salmon all day.
Can you imagine?
It sounds great.
It sounds great.
And yeah, they're fattening themselves up for hibernation. And every October, they put Fat Bear Week on their website, which is a popularity contest where people vote for their favorite fat bears. Yep. See, Kimber and Muscadet knew where that was going, the Fat Bear Week. And I actually,
Kimber knows exactly where this is going.
For those of you watching on the stream, I have a couple of recent fat bear contestants to show you, before and after pictures.
Look at that. Now, that looks me like before the election and me after the election.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to Grazer here. For those of you who can't see it, it's, you know, a skinny bear, bunch of saggy skin just sitting in the water, to an absolute chunk, just huge. Speaking of chunk, the next bear is named
Chunk.
Whoa,
look at that.
That is one big bear. And also 747 is the name of another one. two of my favorites are Holly and Otis.
Look at Holly.
Holly is looks like a bouncy ball, just completely round.
I mean, that is some layers of fat to take you into a tough winter.
So yes, those very fat bears, and I recommend everyone check out Fat Bear Contest. Anyway, back to the game.
All right. Yep.
So this game is based on the contest. You have a river, and you get cards for bears and little wooden meeples of bears, little wooden bears, and you place them along the river and try and scare the other bears out of the best spots so you can eat the most salmon before hibernation.
Now, this, I think this would be highly entertaining.
I think it would.
Have you played it?
I have not, because it's new. It just came out. I haven't ordered it yet.
Oh, it's brand new.
Yes. But it's available for purchasing at Osprey Publishing.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll link it in the description. But if you're interested in giving it a shot, it's $35. It is two players, and it takes about 30 minutes.
Until you get full.
Until you get full.
Okay. Now, does this require anybody to eat sushi during the game?
You can.
All right.
I don't think it's mentioned in the rules. You can eat sushi anytime if you want.
No, thanks. Unless it's a tempura shrimp.
And yes, Kimber and Muscadet also says, doesn't it go for a month? I think so. Yeah, it's a whole month, but the main tournament is just Fat Bear Week, I believe.
All right. Very good. How much? Name of the game, please, again, and the cost?
Katmai, the Bears of Brooks River, and it is $35. That's the board game of the week.
Katmai. I like that name. Katmai. What's the second part of it?
The Bears of Brooks
the
River.
The Bears of Brooks River. Katmai, the Bears of Brooks River board game of the week. Now, that sounds fantastic, and it sounds like a game that would be even better played along a river in Alaska.
And if you can't do that, you can always just pull up the stream of the bears and put it on your TV.
What, like on a 70-inch screen, just sitting there, it'll feel like you're right there with the bears.
Now watch that in a theater.
Yes, exactly. Go to a theater and enjoy that very soon. Well, Art, that's fantastic. I appreciate it because, you know, it's going to be some parts of Wisconsin very warm. You might want to sit on a three-season porch or whatever, or inside, just enjoy that. Can you order it on Amazon?
Not Amazon. It's just on Osprey, like the bird, publishing at the moment.
And they'll get it to you quickly, and you can play it. It'll be fantastic. All right, Mr. Zowers, we appreciate that. Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids checking in on that Musk story. The only side effect to the Musk chip in the head is the unruly flyaway comb-over. Yes, that too. Come on back. Scott Klug is in with a political orphan take on politics. Don't want to miss it. And we'll wrap things up for a Friday on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. On the top of the hour, ABC or CBS Radio News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to across Wisconsin. Then a little check of weather, sports, with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And then another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon until from 2 until 4, Maggie Dawn, followed by Dom Salvia from 4 until 6. And then our friend Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Every evening from 6 until 8, Rick Smith across America, and rounding out the evening with Native Roots Radio with Robert Pilot. Always a fantastic show as well. So I hope you tune in all across the Civic Media Radio Network today and tonight. Here's a new feature for you. I want to start doing this. One of my former bosses, former U.S. Congressman Scott Klug, represented the Madison area, the 2nd Congressional District of Wisconsin, for 8 years. In the 2nd District there, in the House of Representatives. Here's a guy, Klug, who when he ran, he said, I'll limit myself to no more than 12 years in office. And he kept his word in 8. And after 8 years, he said, you know what? It was never meant to be a career. And I went and served, and now I'm going back into the private sector, which he did. And then last year, he said, you know, because he started his career as a broadcaster in television, was on Channel 27 in Madison for a number of years, was at TV stations in Seattle and Washington, D.C. And so he talked with our owner, CEO Sage Weil, and we said, why don't we do this a limited run podcast radio show called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, because Klug, longtime Republican, but a moderate Republican, which really doesn't exist anymore. He doesn't identify himself with the Democratic Party, so he feels like he's an independent, a lost in the middle, a political orphan. And we ran that until after the election, and that's wrapped up now. And so we thought, well, he still has something to say, so why don't we have him come back for a couple of minutes every Friday and share his thoughts. So here now, our first take on his take. This is Scott Klug's Political Orphan, his take. For those of us who sometimes feel lost in the middle, time for our weekly commentary from political orphan, former Congressman Scott Klug.
Hey, good news from last fall's election. No matter which side you're on, record turnout of 73% in Wisconsin and not a whiff of scandal. But we need to change one major election law that creates potential ammunition for conspiracy whack jobs. In every presidential election, we watch trucks deliver more than 100,000 absentee ballots to the Milwaukee Counting Center after the polls close. First, the ballots have to be verified, then opened, then tabulated, and it takes hours to report results. Frankly, it's embarrassing. We're only one of 13 states that will not allow ballots to be counted prior to polls closing. Look, Republican states like Florida and Texas, with far bigger populations, count absentee ballots before Election Day, and they deliver vote totals before the ballot trucks even hit the roads in Wisconsin. A second way to speed up the process, Minnesota doesn't start counting before Election Day, but they do verify the ballots in advance. So when Election Day hits, the count is expedited. Boom. We're only one of seven states that won't allow that early step. We at the bipartisan Defend Democracy Project urge the Wisconsin legislature to change the law. My colleagues, former GOP AG J.B. Van Hollen, former state Democratic Chair Mike Tate, and former Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Mandela Barnes, all urge the passage of this common sense reform. You know, this is a travesty given our reform heritage. More than 100 years ago, Wisconsin was the state that pushed for secret ballots and the direct election of senators to take the power away from party bosses. Today, sadly, we lag the rest of the country. Hey, Madison, fix it. And next time, we'll talk about one other twist in our election laws, which should be fixed before the red-hot Supreme Court race. That's my take. I'm political orphan Scott Kluge.
Scott Kluge, his take, I think it's a good one, by the way. Why is it that Wisconsin is so far behind now in how we count our votes? And again, we just had an audit with this in Wisconsin. This last election, 2024, found that there were no major problems once again. Wisconsin has one of the safest voting mechanisms already, and what we need is to be able to count these ballots, like Kluge said. So hopefully the legislature gets its act in gear.
Hopefully.
And, but Kluge will be on every of those two-minute segments every Friday now. So looking forward to that. Many thanks to Scott Kluge. By the way, it's March 7th today. On this date in 2025, hey, that's today, Sommers, by the way. At 5 p.m. Central Time, the United States will see its first execution by firing squad in 15 years.
Wait,
in
really?
In South Carolina, prisoner Brad Sigmund is to be strapped into a metal seat in the same chamber used for execution by electric chair and lethal injection. And by law, Sigmund had his choice of three forms of execution and chose firing squad. He'll have a hood over his head. A target will be placed on his heart. Three volunteers will shoot from a distance of 15 feet. They will stand behind a wall with a small opening for their rifle. Used under the chair, that is, to which Sigmund will be strapped, is a catch basin. The bullets that are fired are designed to break apart on impact so that fragments destroy as much of the heart as possible. Not to exaggerate, this is part of making America great again. As Professor William Nelson of Amherst College wrote, in 2020, the first Trump administration expanded how federal execution can be carried out to include ghoulish methods such as hanging, the electric chair, gas chambers, and indeed, the firing squad. Unquote. Not a great way to leave you all, but I think an important way. We continue on. The fight continues on. Have a better weekend than that. Zomers, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here as always. Thanks to Tim Corden of the Building Unity Wisconsin Tour. Brady Ewing from Badger Football, of course, former player. Scott Kluge and all of you. Maggie Dawn is next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. See you Monday.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, can the House GOP use their mandate to pass a clean funding bill? And remember when Senator Rick Scott took the fifth 75 times when his company was fined $1.7 billion for Medicare fraud? He has new thoughts! Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans. and they help me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the Labor Department out with its February jobs report showing 151,000 jobs added last month, fewer than projected. President Trump touting those numbers, but they don't include the massive layoffs of federal workers. ABC's Alexis Christophorus says more.
We just saw those minus 10,000 federal workers last month. We know it is much more than that. And that's because the data collected for this report happens mid-February. So a lot happened between mid-February and now, and that will be reflected in the next jobs report. And then jobs reports to come.
Rolling tariffs also creating uncertainty in the economy. The president indicated today he could issue hikes on Canada dairy and lumber. President Trump meeting with digital currency leaders at a White House crypto summit this afternoon and could outline his U.S. strategic cryptocurrency reserve. An investigation underway following the explosion of the SpaceX Starship rocket that crashed after the launch from Florida. This is ABC News.